Please open in your Bibles to the letter of 1 John. This morning we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light of your word. And Lord God, we pray that it would shine brightly this morning and that it would do what light does, that it would reveal. And Lord God, that as your light reveals what it does in this world and in our lives, Lord God, we pray that you would be active by your Holy Spirit to move and to cause and direct everyone under the hearing of this word to not flee to darkness, but Lord, to flee to the light and to walk in it in the strength and power of Christ through repentance and faith. And we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, have you ever wondered, how do I tell if someone who claims to be a Christian really is? Especially if he or she doesn't act like one. Or have you ever thought to yourself, am I a true Christian? There are several reasons you may have asked yourself these questions, and some of them may be, you look at other Christians, you see the sin in their life and begin to think, despite their claims to the contrary, this is not what I think a Christian is supposed to be doing or what a Christian should look like. Or maybe you question your own fellowship with God because you see other Christians around you or in the broader evangelical church, so to speak, being more gracious and forgiving than you towards men and women who commit what you think is a sin before God. But they say, well, no, it's not that bad. In fact, it's hard to say that it's actually sin at all. Maybe even chastising you, saying that God is a loving and forgiving God, maybe you should try being a little bit more like him. And perhaps you start to think that if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't be so hard on what you thought was sin. Or perhaps you question your own fellowship with God because you see the sin in your own life, and you think to yourself, you know, if I were a real Christian, I would not have so much sin. You know, or I wouldn't keep on sinning as I am. Well, friends, if any of these questions have ever plagued your mind or your heart, you're not alone. The saints to whom the Apostle John was writing expressed the same questions of doubt. You may remember from last time I preached on 1 John, there were false teachers who had rejected John's teaching regarding Christ and the gospel, and yet they were still claiming to be true believers, even though they were walking contrary to God's word. And these false teachers were also claiming that the sins they committed, or at least the sins that they were being told they were committing, weren't really sins at all because their souls were redeemed, and it didn't really matter what they did with their bodies. Some of them were even saying that they were sinless. They were more pure, more holy than others. Well, such people were causing a lot of confusion in the life of God's people. They're causing the sheep under John's care to doubt their own assurance of salvation because they're being confused about what a true Christian really looks like. And so in this letter, John provides throughout the whole thing various ways, different ways to discern who is in the faith and who is not. And in the section of his letter we have before us this morning, he writes to reassure his readers and to reassure you that you can know that you walk in the light because you live a life of repentance and faith. And that's the main point for you this morning. This is one of the pieces that John includes here about how we know whether we are of Christ or not. You can know you walk in the light by living a life of repentance and faith. And John begins this section by declaring to you that God is light. We see that in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John begins by expressing the character of God by using this idea of light. And as he does so, he lays the groundwork for the next several verses. And in both the Old and New Testaments, this contrasting idea of light and darkness is used extensively. Light and darkness are typically used to show absolute opposites, like good and evil, openness, secrecy, truth, falsehood, God's kingdom, and the devil's kingdom. And what John desires to express by saying that God is light is that God is pure and holy, and none of the characteristics of darkness or the things which darkness represents are found in God. That's why John repeats what he says by using the negative phrase, in him is no darkness at all. There's no evil in God, no falsehood. God does not lie. He is completely righteous. He's completely good. Now just think about what light is for a moment. You can close your eyes and think about light. It might be kind of hard to do that, but just think about what light is. When you think about it, you can't imagine darkness in it at all, can you? Because light and darkness cannot exist in the same place at the same time. Where light is, darkness cannot be, because darkness is the absence of light. The only way darkness can exist is if there is no light. This is why there is no darkness at all in God, because he's full of light. In fact, he is light. And this is what God desires for his people, that they walk in the light as he is in the light. God desires you to be holy as he himself is holy, to be good as he himself is good, to be pure and righteous as he himself is pure and righteous. And just like God has no spots of filth, no hypocrisy or anything perverted, he desires you to be clean, truthful, and walking honorably before him. This is what Paul tells us in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and following. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify him for himself, a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." But during the time John wrote this letter, and even today, there are people who claim to walk in the light, but their deeds do not reflect the light. There were then and are people today who claim to be Christians, but it's hard to tell if they really are. And there were and are people who don't claim to be Christians, but seem like really good people. And so John's sheep are wondering, and maybe you are too, whether there is such a thing as a bad believer or a good unbeliever. whether there's such thing as a carnal Christian or a holy pagan. Can an unbeliever, if he's a really nice guy, be in some sort of fellowship with God? Or can a believer, if he's really bad, sometimes be out of fellowship with God? Well, John wants you to know that either you have fellowship with God or you do not. Look at the two positions in verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So John's making it clear in these passages that there are only two types of people in this world. Those who walk in the darkness, verse 6, and those who walk in the light, verse 7. There's no middle ground. Now, there's no fence riding here. There's no jumping back and forth. There is only sheep or goat, wheat or tares, believer or unbeliever. John's words accord well with those of Christ's. Jesus in Matthew 12:30 says, "He who is not with me is against me." John does not want his people to be confused about those who are spreading this false teaching or saying that they're believers and yet walking completely contrary to what God's word says. You see, these false teachers John was fighting against still claimed that they were Christians. They still claimed that they were part of Christ's church, and John's sheep are getting confused about who is really in the faith. John's sheep need guidance on how to distinguish true believers from the false. They need guidance on how to pick out these wolves from among the sheep. And one of the points that John wants to make is that these false teachers cannot be heretics and Christians at the same time. These people cannot be living lives of consistent disobedience and be Christians at the same time. They cannot be both wolves and sheep, even if some of them are still bleating like sheep. It's like John's talking about a light switch. A light switch can be either on or off. It can't be both. And just in case you're thinking of it, there's no dimmer switch in Christianity. There's no middle ground. You either walk in the light or in the darkness. John wants to make it clear there is no in between. And so I ask, where are you today? Are you walking in the darkness or in the light? Are you for Christ or are you against him? This is the burden of the passage this morning. John is saying to you today, you cannot be both a Christian and a non-Christian. You cannot say you are in the light and yet still walk in the darkness, because John's words in verse 6 are clear. If you say you have fellowship with God yet walk in darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. But if you do indeed walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, then you can say with a clear conscience that you are in the light. John wants you to realize that you can identify where it is you walk, whether it's in the light or in the darkness. But how can we tell? How do we know who's walking in the light or in the darkness? How do you know if you yourself are walking in the light or in the darkness? Well, John wants to tell you that those who walk in darkness suppress the truth. Those who walk in darkness suppress the truth. Look at verses 6, 8, and 10. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, in the section we're considering here, John goes back and forth between what it looks like for someone to walk in the darkness and someone who walks in the light. And in verses 6, 8, and 10, he gives the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. And the common theme in all of those verses in 6, 8, and 10 is the suppression of the truth. Now, what do I mean by that suppression of the truth? Well, Paul talks about that elsewhere, doesn't he? Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in or with unrighteousness. Because what may be known about God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, Paul is saying that ever since the creation of this world, man has understood that God is light. He is holy. He is pure. Whether they admit it or not, they know it to be true. And they know that they have sinned and fall short of his glory. That's why John can say in verse 6 that we lie and do not practice the truth when we say that we're not sinful. Or that we walk with him and then live in a contrary way. Because we know what the truth is. And in verse 8, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, that is Christ, is not in us. Verse 10, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Meaning we call God a liar whenever he tells us the truth about our sin, our sinful condition, and we don't want to hear it. It'd be like if you went to the doctor and he told you that you had a very serious form of cancer. And you were dying. And because you didn't want to believe it, you tell him that he is lying. But then he shows you the test results. He brings out the scans. He says, see, it's clear. But you don't want to believe him. And you leave the office and you pretend like the cancer doesn't exist. All the while, it's eating away your body inside of you. This is what John is saying about these false teachers, these false Christians. They claim they have no sin, verse 8. They claim that they've never sinned, verse 10. And John is saying that they lie and do not practice the truth because God has clearly revealed the truth to them. He's clearly shown them through creation and his word that he is holy and that man is sinful. And is this not what's happening today? Individuals, churches, whole denominations claiming that what God calls sin isn't sin at all. Brushing off the things that the Bible condemns as if it's not a big deal. Or men or women who come under the discipline of the church because of some unrepentant sin, yet all the while refusing to admit that they are in the wrong or just continuing to make excuses. Now, that church doesn't know what they're talking about, they might say. Or those conservative churches, those denominations, they're always trying to call things sin, they might say. But John is saying that these churches or these people who say they have fellowship with God lie. And they do not practice the truth. They deceive themselves. They make God a liar, and his word is not in them. But it's easy to point fingers, isn't it? It's easy to look around at others and point out the sin in their lives and say, wow, look at how messed up they are. They're clearly living sinful lives and yet claim to be Christians. They aren't real. But I ask, what about you? What about me? What are our lives like? And do you say you have fellowship with God, but then lust after another man or woman, whether it's your neighbor, your coworker, or someone on your phone or your computer screen? Do you say you have not sinned whenever you tell a teeny tiny little white lie to your husband or wife or friend? Whenever you fudge your taxes a bit or borrow something with no intention of giving it back? Do you say you have fellowship with God but then allow anger to grip you when somebody wrongs you? Do you get jealous when somebody you know gets something you really want? Do you disrespect your parents or others who are in authority over you? Friends, these are all deeds of evil. These are all deeds of darkness. And as Christians, those in fellowship with God, you are called to walk in the light. Now you're probably thinking, hold on a second. I came to church this morning to hear the good news. To be encouraged, to be uplifted. And according to what you've just said, I appear really no different than the false Christian. I claim to be in fellowship with God, and yet I still commit these sins. I still commit deeds of darkness. What does that mean? But friends, I tell you that the good news isn't good news until you've heard the bad news. And what you've just heard is the bad news. You and I still sin every day in thought, word, and deed, and sometimes we relish it. But there's a difference between your life and the false Christian if you are a child of light. And neither John nor I want you to leave discouraged or distraught today if you are of the light. And here is the difference. The false Christian continues to walk in darkness because he knows he is sinful. John has begun by saying that God is light. And one of the characteristics of the light is that it exposes what is in the darkness. And in order to see this more clearly, listen to what John says in chapter 3 of his gospel. The Apostle John was a good disciple of Jesus Christ. He listened well to his master. And the things that are recorded in the gospel of John are re-articulated and explained here in his letter as he unpacks what he heard from Christ. Listen to John 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the judgment or evaluation. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light. Now why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Now, how do we have a good picture of this? What's a good illustration? How many of you have ever seen cockroaches before? You're familiar with cockroaches. When the lights are off, they come out and they do their dirty deed. They run all over the place, right? And they scatter around all over the place, crawling over things. But as soon as you come and turn on the light, what happens? They scatter, right? They flee, they run, they hide. Why? Because they're trying to not be exposed. It's survival. They know that if they're in the light, they'll be found and they will be killed. Friends, it's the same way with sinful men and women living in this world. It's the same way with unbelievers. They walk around in the darkness, and as soon as the light comes on, what happens? They scatter because they don't want to be exposed. They don't want the sin that is in their life, which they know is there, to come to the surface. They don't want to be called to repentance, and so they continue on in the darkness, avoiding the light. This is what characterizes the unbeliever. This is what characterizes the false Christian. But does this characterize you? What do you do when you see the light has been turned on in your life and your sin is exposed? When you read the Bible or get convicted, do you close it up and walk away because you don't want to hear it anymore? Or when you find yourself guilty during a sermon, do you just try to tune out so you don't feel so bad? Or when friends or family members approach you and try to point out the sin in your life, do you shut them out so you don't have to feel wounded? Or you blame shift, you start pointing out other things, extenuating circumstances for why you are the way you are? Or when you're alone and your conscience condemns you for the sin you've just committed, do you turn on the TV and turn off your conscience so you don't have to hear that loud voice screaming in your heart? I tell you, and John is telling you, that if the light shines on you and you turn and continue to walk in the darkness and yet claim to be a Christian and yet claim to have fellowship with God, you make God a liar. And his word is not in you. And if this describes you today, I want you to know that you do not have to continue walking in the darkness. You don't have to continue hiding from the light, but you can walk in the light if you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, just as verses 6, 8, and 10 go together to describe those of the darkness, verses 7 and 9 go together to describe those of the light. And John is telling his readers, he's telling you, that there's hope for you for those who are lost in the darkness. There's hope for you if you find yourself exposed by the light. There's hope for you. All you need do is turn from your sin and trust in Christ as your only salvation. Friends, there's an answer for your sin. There is an answer for your darkness. And John is telling you that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's calling you, I'm calling you to turn from the darkness and trust in Jesus. It is repentance and faith in Christ that will save you. But John is also saying that it is a life of repentance and faith is what characterizes the true believer. When John says, walk in the light in verse 7, he doesn't mean that we do not sin, but that when we do sin, we don't try to hide it from God or from anyone else. But we respond with repentance and faith, knowing that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, the Christian walk is a walk of repentance and faith. Every step you take symbolizes that very thing. You're convicted by sin, and what do? Run to the darkness? No. You turn and you repent, and then believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all of your sins by his precious blood. And you strive to follow after him, and yet you sin every day in thought, word, and deed. What do? Run to the darkness? No. Repent again. And then believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for your sin. It's a life of repentance and faith. It's a life of walking in the light, not in the darkness. There's an answer for your sin. Praise God for that. It's repentance and faith that points to these things. Now, this is different with the false Christian. You see, when the false Christian sees the light, he runs from it, seeking the darkness. But the true Christian, again, upon seeing the light, walks in it, seeking Jesus Christ. The false Christian sees his sin and immediately tries to hide. But the true Christian sees his sin, he turns from it, trusts the blood of Christ to cover over his sin. So instead of running from the doctor who's just diagnosed you with cancer, denying what he said, you acknowledge your broken condition before him and place your trust in him as the one who can help you, the one who can heal you and restore your strength. This is what John is trying to point out in these passages. A true believer will turn to Christ when confronted with his sin. He'll recognize his broken position before God. And instead of running away, he turns to Christ to be healed. So I ask again, where are you today? When you sin, what do you do? Well, dear brother, dear sister, turn from your sin and believe the gospel. Only repentance and belief in the gospel can assure you of your position before God. So be encouraged then if you find yourself seeking God's face and asking for his forgiveness when you sin, for this shows you are in the light. So walk in the light, repent and believe, and enjoy the benefits of walking in the light. And what are those benefits? What are the results of walking in the light? Well, John tells us when you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the church, and you are assured of your salvation in Christ. You can see both of these in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So first, John points out that we experience fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. You know, if we hide our sin or claim that we or what we're doing isn't sinful or make excuses for why it is we've done what we've done, even when the Bible says that we are wrong, we cause division and separation, don't we? Just think once again of the various denominations that call what is evil good. We cannot in good conscience before God have fellowship with them because of their stances on certain sins. And it is the same thing with individuals who refuse to acknowledge the sin in their own life or the damage it has caused in them and around them and how it has brought separation and division and a lack of fellowship with their family and friends and the church. That men and women who live according to the Word of God, live lives of true repentance and faith, what happens? They cultivate vibrant gospel fellowship because they truly understand the depths of their own sin and the power of Christ to save them and to change them. This verse serves well also to point out the false teachers who've left the community of John's sheep here. He's saying that they don't walk in the light because these people don't have fellowship with the people of the light. But John is also saying that when you walk in the light, you can be assured of your salvation. Look at that verse again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we said earlier, when you walk in the light, you can't help but see you fall short, which causes you to continually rely on the grace of God. When you do so by repentance and faith, John assures you that the blood of Christ covers all of your sins. So enjoy the fellowship with Christ's church that repentance and faith afford you. Recognize that others around you, like you, are sinners saved by grace, and forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you, and rejoice with one another in your common salvation. Enjoy the full assurance as well of the pardon you have through the promise of God in Jesus Christ, that if you repent and believe, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. So where does this leave us then? Well, as we've seen in this section of John's epistle, that God is light. Because God is light, his holiness shines on everyone, exposing their true condition. We've seen that there can be only two types of people in this world, the Christian and the non-Christian, the sheep or the goat. And we've seen the responses of each whenever the light of God's truth shines on them. And so this brings us then to the ultimate question of this section of John's epistle. How can I tell whether those who claim the name of Christ are truly in the light or lie and do not practice the truth? Or more importantly, because neither I nor John want you to go on a witch hunt, more importantly, how can you have assurance that you truly walk in the light? How can you know for sure that you have fellowship with God? Well, John is saying, look at what you do whenever the light shines on you. The false Christian runs away and continues to walk in the darkness, continues in his sin. But the true believer can know for sure that he has fellowship with God because he turns from his sin, turns to Christ, and seeks forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. So where are you running? Have you been running to the light? Or have you been running to the darkness? Are you ashamed of your sin and fear the judgment that you are under because of it? Have you been trying to hide in the darkness? God's call to you today is to repent and believe the gospel, to know that God has sent his Son into this world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me. And he's accomplished this through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But friends, if you find yourself here this morning and you know that you were in the light and yet you find yourself in sin, you slip up, you fall, you turn away and indulge in your sin and you are convicted by that sin, the call to you today is the same. Repent and believe the gospel. Because it's through your continual repentance and faith that you may enjoy the assurance of God's fatherly pleasure. It's through your continual repentance and faith that you can be assured of your salvation. So, brothers and sisters, know that you walk in the light. Live a life of repentance and faith. Know that you walk in the light. Live a life of repentance and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the light of your word. And Lord, for sinners to say that is a strange thing, because we know when the light shines, we want to run. But Lord, we don't run because of your grace. Lord, everything in us wants to flee. We want to hide in the darkness. And yet, Lord God, by your mercy and grace, have transferred a people for yourself out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light of your Son. And you have called us to be children of light, to walk in the light. Lord God, we pray that you would enable us to do this by your grace. Lord, may we not be afraid to acknowledge the darkness we still find in our hearts. And instead of trying to cover such things up, Lord, let us bring it all the more into the light. Use your word to reveal any secret or wicked way that be within us, that it might be healed, that it might be changed and transformed by the power and work of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to have assurance that what Jesus has done for us is sufficient, is enough to bring us into a right relationship with you and to keep us there. Lord, bless us and keep us by your grace, we pray. And use this word today to draw all of us into the light, that we would walk in the light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.